Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
The title of the message here this morning is really a question. And the question is this: do you want your needs met? Now, probably all of us would say yes to that, right? I would like to have my needs met. If I have a need, I want God to meet that need in my life. So, do you want your needs met? I'm guessing that all of us would say, yes, I do want my needs met. But today I want to really not only give you a wonderful promise that we see in verse 19, but I want to talk to you about how you can claim this promise in your life. Let's look at Philippians 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Will you read that verse with me? Let's lift our voices together. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. One more time. Let's read it again. Philippians 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This verse is a promise that has strengthened and certainly sustained God's people for literally centuries. By the way, the Apostle Paul was not introducing a new promise or a new concept. God's provision for his people has its roots all the way back in the Old Testament. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had everything that they needed. When the nation of Israel needed to be delivered from Egyptian bondage, God raised up Moses. When they needed water in the desert, God supplied it from a rock. When they needed food on their journey as they wandered through the wilderness, God rained down manna from heaven. When mankind needed a Savior, God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary. Here's my point. Our text contains here in Philippians 4, verse 19, an old truth that needs to be recaptured by Christians today. Our independence and at times even our self-confidence has caused us to not to trust God, but rather at times to trust ourselves. Our tendency is to depend upon our guaranteed salary, our medical benefits, our savings accounts, our mutual funds, our investments, and on the list goes. With our materialistic culture in which we live, fewer and fewer people are trusting God. Fewer and fewer people are factoring God into their thinking. Somehow, some way today, I want to help you to understand that God can meet your every need. I want to help you today to understand that the most important thing you can do as a Christian is to simply trust God to meet your every need. God can meet your need. I promise that he can. And hopefully after we look at Philippians 4 verse 19 today, you'll be convinced that God is the provider. God is the one who can meet your every need. I want us to look at 3 points here today from Philippians 4 verse 19. Point number one, I want you to see the provider of this promise. Who is the one who is providing us with this promise? Well, here we see that God himself is the provider. Paul uses the phrase, my God. When Paul received Christ as his personal Savior on the road to Damascus, he was immediately brought into a personal relationship with God. Paul, the persecutor of the church, was no longer at enmity with God, but now the God of the universe was his heavenly Father. There is a big difference, folks, in believing in God and having a personal relationship with God. right? We all know that there's a big difference there. There's a lot of people who believe in God, but they don't have a personal relationship with God. By the way, the book of James tells us that even the devils believe in the existence of God, and we know that they don't have a personal relationship with God. You see, it's more important for us to have a personal relationship with God more than anything else in life. God doesn't want us to know that He is omnipotent strictly in an academic or an intellectual way, but He wants us to experience that divine attribute in our Christian lives. It's one thing to know with your head that God is all powerful, but it's another thing altogether to experience His power in our lives and through our lives. Paul knew God as the provider of all of his needs, the same way that Abraham was convinced that God would meet his needs in the book of Genesis. The Jehovah Jireh of the Old Testament is still the Jehovah Jireh of the New Testament. Amen. Can I ask you a question here today? Do you have a personal relationship with God? Are you able to say that He is my God? My God? Are you able to say that here today? If you want to enjoy God as your provider, it all starts by accepting His provision of salvation. By accepting Christ as your Savior, God provides you with the forgiveness of your sin. He gives you the gift of eternal life. The moment that you, by faith, receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that is the very moment that you can call God my God. I can tell you this morning that He is my God. I don't just talk about Him in a generic way, like I believe there is a God. I want you to know that that God is my God. And I hope that He is your God today, where you can say, yes, by faith, I have received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. So I too can say that God is my God. He is the provider. And when we accept the provision of salvation, He becomes our God, and then we are able to trust Him for all the other needs in our lives. Number two, I want you to see the plenitude of the promise. Paul says here, my God shall supply. Now, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, like I've already said, then you can call God my God. And if He is your God, then He has a promise for you here in Philippians 4, verse 19. Keep in mind that a promise is only as good as the one who's making it, right? The one who is making the promise here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, the one who is saying that He will supply all of our needs, by the way, is fully capable of doing what He says He can do. God doesn't lie. Amen? God does not lie. If God lied, then He would cease to be God. So God does not lie, and He gives us a promise here. And He is saying, this promise is as good as me. I'm the one standing behind this promise that I'm making. God is not only omnipotent in that He's able to provide for all of our needs, but He is omniscient. And that means that He knows exactly every need that you have in your heart and in your life today. I'm looking out at faces here today, and we are speaking live radio. We are online. There's no way that I can know all the needs that exist in your lives. But I'll tell you, God knows the need in your life today. You may be sitting next to someone else, and they don't know the need in your life. You don't know the need in their life. But our God is not only omnipotent, He is omniscient. And that means that He knows every need today, represented by every person here in this auditorium. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, Jesus says, "Be not therefore like unto them," like lost people, For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Don't worry about those needs in your life because God already knows what your needs are. Matthew 6, verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Again, a term used for not only non-Jewish people, but in the New Testament, a term that is used for a lost person, unbelievers. The Gentiles, lost people, seek after all these things. What things? Material things. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Listen to me closely. My God, Jehovah Jireh, the great provider, is fully aware of what I need, and he has promised to provide for my every need. He knows the need in your life today, and he is still the great Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, and he can meet every need in your life. Notice those three words here in our text, all your need. Not most of your need, not some of your need, but God promises that all of your needs will be met. That's what I call abundant provision. Folks, we don't serve a poor God. Amen? We don't serve a poor, broken God. No, we serve a rich God who has promised to provide for all of our needs. I'm reminded of Psalm 104 and verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Now think about this for a moment. I find it interesting that the earth is full of God's riches, and that's where God has put us on earth. You think about that. And God is saying, I've got all these riches here on earth, and I've placed you here on earth. And by the way, he can put the two and two together, and he can meet all of our needs. Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. The earth and everything in it belongs to God. By the way, what you have and what you think belongs to you is really God's. He's just entrusted it to you. He's allowing you to have it for a while. Before you were born, somebody else had it. And now you have it for a while. When you die, somebody else will have it. You see, you're just going to be entrusted with it. So be a good steward of what God has allowed you to manage. The earth and everything in it belongs to God. Psalm 50, verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. Boy, get the imagery there. When I think about the Family Life Center and how God has so miraculously helped us to pay every bill that we have received so far, God has been absolutely amazing. And I'm convinced that at some point, God is going to sell some of the cattle on a thousand hills, and he's going to pay the rest of that off out there. Amen? Well, there's three of you that believe with me here today. Verse 11. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. Verse 12, God says, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. God doesn't have any needs. God is self-existent, self-sufficient. You and I have needs, but God says, you know what, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you because you couldn't help me anyway. But we need God's help, amen? We have needs that God, the great provider, can help us with. Our God, our great provider, created and he controls all the provision in the world. And he can put two and two together. You say, well, what do you mean by that? If there's a need over here and he has the provision over there, he can put here and there together and make sure that the need is met. Isaiah 45, verse 3, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am the God of Israel. God has hidden riches in secret places that you know nothing about. If we will grasp the truth of what God is trying to teach us here in Philippians 4 and verse 19, we could get rid of all of our worry, all of our anxiety, all the stress that we have in our lives because we're worried about, well, how is this need going to be met? And what's going to happen over here? What if this doesn't happen? How am I going to be able to do this? And we worry about all these needs in our lives. And right here in Philippians 4, verse 19, Paul is telling us, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have a great provider, and he has plenty. He can meet all your needs. You don't need to fret and worry and stress out about the needs in your life. He's going to take care of it. If God would provide for your greatest need, if he would save you, if he would give you eternal life, if he wash all of your sins away, if he would meet the greatest need in your life, don't you think he can meet the other needs in your life? That's what he's saying here in Romans 8, verse 32. Why do we worry about this bill and that bill and how this situation is going to work out and how's that going to happen? And we worry about all these things. Can I remind you, God met the greatest need you have in your life, salvation. He provided Jesus, his son, for you. If he saved your lost soul, don't you think he'll take care of all the other needs in your life? Don't ever question God's ability to meet your need. God's riches are at your disposal. Sad to say, most believers question whether God can truly meet their need. We often pray, not really believing that God, who is Jehovah Jireh, the great provider, will actually meet that need. And then often we're surprised when our prayers are answered and our needs are met. We're like, oh my goodness, God did meet our need. God, the Jehovah Jireh of the Old Testament, is still the Jehovah Jireh of today. And God can meet your need. Don't be surprised. Don't doubt God. Don't question God, but put your faith, your trust in him. We believe that he is omnipotent. If I were to say today, is God all-powerful? You would say, absolutely. Why do you believe that? Well, because I believe the Bible, and the Bible says that God is omnipotent. Well, if you believe that, I want you to understand that he has the power to meet every need in your life. The question is whether you can trust him to do that. Can you trust him to meet that need in your life today? God is able. The question is not God's ability. The question is our faith and our trust and just leaning on him and looking to him to meet every need in our life. That brings me to point number three, the prerequisite to the promise. There is a condition attached to this promise. If you and I are going to claim this wonderful promise here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, we have to meet a prerequisite. Now, it's not in verse 19, but it's in the context of verse 19. Notice that verse 19 begins with the conjunction, but. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, that word but there in verse 19 is connecting the thought that Paul has already communicated in the previous verses. Let's look at that in verse 14 through 18. Look at your Bible again. We just looked at verse 19, but to truly understand verse 19, we need to go back to verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, that word communicate there does not mean that they just sat around talking about the suffering and the affliction and the need that Paul had in his life. No, no. Verse 15 clarifies, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated or shared with me. They didn't give to meet my need with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. The church at Philippi was a church that was focused on meeting the needs of other people. They were not thinking about us four and no more. They were not just thinking about the needs within the four walls of their church. No, they were thinking about the needs of Paul. They were thinking about the needs of getting the gospel out. Notice that he says here that when he was in Thessalonica, here in verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. You remember that Paul had gone through Philippi and preached the gospel there. Lydia got saved. The jailer got saved. His whole household got saved. People were getting saved. A church was being organized. And then Paul went on to Thessalonica. When he was there in Thessalonica, The church at Philippi sent a financial gift and even, no doubt, items over to Paul while he was in Thessalonica because they had a burden for the people of Thessalonica to hear the gospel and to get saved. Verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Spiritual fruit. What account is he talking about? The bank account that we have in heaven. Not the bank account down here. He's talking about our account in heaven. But I have all and abound. Verse 18. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Listen to me carefully. If we fail to apply verses 14 through 18, we will miss the blessing of verse 19. You may be here today and you say, well, I'm a Christian and I believe verse 19, but it hasn't worked for me. Well, can I just say, maybe it's because you have not met the prerequisite? In order to claim the promise that we have in verse 19, we have to fulfill the prerequisite that we read about in verses 14 through 18. What is that prerequisite? The Philippian believers had given generously. They had given sacrificially to Paul and his missionary calling. They had prioritized world evangelism, that is, getting the good news of the gospel out to the ends of the earth. You say, what is that good news? The good news is that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and he rose from the grave. That's the good news. And folks, we're about to celebrate Easter coming up on the first Sunday of April. But I want you to know that every Sunday, the first day of the week, we celebrate the fact that we have a living Savior. And that is the gospel, the good news. He died for our sins. He was buried, but he rose again. He conquered death in the grave with his victorious resurrection. Paul rejoiced in their giving. Notice that. Not because of what it did for him, but because of what it did for them. Did you know that the greatest benefit of our missions giving here at Canton Baptist Temple is not necessarily to the missionary, but rather to us as a local church? So what are you talking about? Keep in mind that this promise here, Philippians 4 and verse 19, is actually given to a local church. Now, I know we individually at times claim this promise, but the context here is that he is writing this letter to the church at Philippi. He is giving that local church a promise because of what they had done to help him by sacrificially giving and by providing the needs that Paul had in his church planning endeavor. It's true that by our sacrificial giving, missionaries will be able to go to the foreign fields and many lost souls will be saved. I praise the Lord that we support, close to 170 missionaries and organizations and projects all around the world. Last year, we gave over $700,000 to missions. And I thank the Lord for the heart that this church has for missions and getting the gospel out, not only to our community, but all around the world. Occasionally, I will hear people say, we give too much to missions. I've actually heard some of that right here, even in our church. We give too much to missions. Well, can I give you a couple of observations? Number one, we don't give any more than what is designated by you, the donor. All right? You designate that gift for missions. Then we have an outside audit every year making sure that every dime that is donated for whatever special cause, whether that be tithe or Family Life Center or missions or sharing and caring, that those monies are spent the way that they are supposed to be spent, the way they are designated by you as a donor. We have an obligation there. You are the ones as a church family that gave over $700,000 last year to missions. Secondly, I don't know about you, but I want God to meet our needs here at Canton Baptist Temple. And that's why we prioritize world evangelism as the most important thing we do. We believe the gospel needs to be preached right here in our own Jerusalem. That would be right here in Stark County, winning people to Christ here. But then it goes on to what? Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. We must take the gospel across the street, across the corner, but we also need to take the gospel all around the world. And here's the truth, folks. Here's the principle. You cannot outgive God. You can't do it. You cannot outgive God. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Notice we have to do the giving first. I've heard people say, well, if God gives me this, then I'll give. No, God's given you what you have right now. Start giving right where you are. Give right now. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. If we want our needs to be met here at Canton Baptist Temple, and if you want your individual needs to be met in your life, then we must give sacrificially and generously so that the gospel can be preached around the world. I firmly believe this, and you don't have to believe it if you don't want to, but I really believe this passage of Scripture here in verse 19 and how you need to understand verse 19 in the context of these other verses. But I truly believe that the reason why we have been able to do millions of dollars worth of maintenance work here at the church, renovation work, building projects, we have spent millions in the 22 years that I have been here at the church. And I want you to know today, February 28th, 2021, we are debt-free here at this church. Everything has been paid for. That's amazing, folks. That's miraculous. That's a God thing. That gives you God bumps up and down your back, right? You think about that. You say, how is that? Why has God allowed that to happen? Why has He supplied for all of our needs here at Canton Baptist Temple? I'll tell you why. Because I went back and did the math this week, and in the 22 years that I have been here, we have given $14.5 million to missions. That enables us to claim the promise of Philippians 4, verse 19. This verse is not just an air grab. A lot of people love to lift verses out of context and just claim and say what they want to say about those verses. Not true here when it comes to Philippians 4, 19. God meets our needs when we prioritize what is His passion and what is His heart. And He has a heart for a lost world.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.